Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people mattered. I'm David Swanson.
I'm delighted to welcome to Talk Nation Radio this week Laurel Krauss, who is a co-founder and the director of the Kent State Truth Tribunal. You can find the website at truthtribunal.org. Laurel Krauss, welcome to Talk Nation Radio.
Hi, how's it going?
We still have wars, we still have abuses of our First Amendment rights, but we do have a little bit of historical memory. For those who aren't as familiar as they might want to be, tell people what happened at Kent State University on May 4th, 1970.
On May 4th, 1970, at Kent State University in Ohio, students were protesting. They had a small rally on their noon, on campus at noon, and within 20 minutes, the United States government, with the Ohio National Guard specifically, they shot into the students with M1 rifles and assorted other military gear at unarmed students, and they shot dead 4 students, at least 2 of which were protesting, and 9 more students were wounded severely. That's what happened on May 4th, and it was organized. We've learned a lot about it since. It's been 43 years now. And 3 years ago, new evidence came up from a tape recorded by a student on his dormitory window ledge. The tape told us everything that we had always wanted to know about what happened at Kent State. And the hard evidence that was forensically explored by Stuart Allen, a world-class forensic evidence expert. What he found was an order to shoot that had been denied for over 40 years by the U.S. government, and it didn't make any sense anyhow, their denial. Even more tellingly, 70 seconds before that order to fire, this expert, Stuart Allen, heard 4 low-caliber pistol shots fired by an FBI informant provocateur. His name is Terry Norman. He's never had to answer a question about Kent State.
How could you tell who was firing the shots?
Well, what was interesting is Kent State was probably one of the most documented domestic battles in American history. And there's video footage as well as photographic evidence that shows this FBI informant provocateur turning over his gun, running across campus very quickly after he fired it. He had actually been beat up. He had been in an altercation, a very violent one, with a student. When they saw his shiny 22, and as he was running across campus, students were chasing him, and that's all caught in the video as well. And then he immediately hands over his pistol to a Kent police person, who we've identified as his mentor.
So the U.S. government denied for decades that there was any order to shoot. Their contention was that members of the Ohio National Guard had simply, of their own volition, chosen to shoot at students.
Because they were under attack, and the students, they felt in fear for their lives. There's no photographic evidence of that either. My sister was 343 feet away from her shooters.
Tell everyone who your sister was.
My sister. Allison Kraut. Breaking up a little bit.
I'm sorry.
She was protesting. She believed in peace. And they just couldn't handle it. The day before she was shot, she had an interaction with a National Guardsman. It was a beautiful day, and the students and the Ohio National Guard were interacting. And my sister placed a flower in his rifle. That fellow had his superior come and admonish him for having a flower in his rifle. And my sister was standing around, and she said, "What's the matter with Pete? Flowers are better than bullets." I think that says it all.
I think it does. I think there are people who could learn that lesson as we speak. But your sister, Allison, was one of the 4 who were killed.
Right. She was shot dead by a military bullet. She was 343 feet away from her shooters. She was a very active protester.
and for years you didn't know, but suspected that the government had ordered the shooting. Do you know at this time specifically how high that decision went, what individuals played a part in it?
Well, here's what happened. Right after Kent State happened, 10 days later, there was Jackson State, too. And at Jackson State, the police there shot two protesters. But it was black dudes, so very little coverage about this. What happened was the Cambodian invasion was announced by President Nixon, April 30, 1970. Everyone knows that, you know, that has any a historical knowledge of this. The U.S. was bombing Laos and Cambodia for a full year before their announcement to come clean about Cambodia, and they decided to have an insurgence, an incursion, they called it. And he announced it, and they also knew that when they were going to make the announcement, the U.S. government knew that there would be student protest across the country as a response. In learning about this new evidence, it becomes clear that Kent State and Jackson State were actually domestic battles that were organized by the Pentagon. The thing that everyone seems to forget is right after Kent State, Jackson State, everyone knew the government did it. Everybody. Everybody that was a young person of my sister's generation, I'm also part of it, I'm 4 years younger, we knew they did it, but we could not prove it. And as long as we could not prove it, they were okay. And so they used that, you know, there was no order to shoot, as their method of in covering up what they did. And they stuck to it. And I also feel that the Ohio National Guard took an oath to not reveal.
You feel that, or you suspect that, or there's evidence?
The fact that no one has come forward is plain enough for us to know. That's true. Of all those people on that, there were like 1,000 law enforcement, Ohio National Guard, Army. I mean, there was Army intelligence there. There was COINTELPRO. There was FBI. This was a government project that was very successful. And many people received promotions from their efforts at Kent State to kill students.
And there were indictments, and the case was thrown out. Is that correct?
Right. There's the Kent 25. 25 students and I believe one professor were indicted. These indictments lasted for years. Everyone that was at Kent State that ever voiced a concern about Kent State and the truth about Kent State was hunted for the next 10 years. My family fought it in the courts for 10 years. We ended up with a statement of regret and $15,000 for my sister Alice. The statement of regret, my father made sure that every shooter on that hill, there were 28 of them, they needed to sign the statement of regret. The following morning, the high-ranking Ohio National Guardsman who was in charge of Kent State, General Del Corso, he said, this is not an apology.
And were any of the shooters ever charged with a crime?
This is where it gets a little foggy for me because I was a young girl and I was also heavily dealing with post-traumatic stress and a lot of other things. My parents were fighting the courts and I was in college and just trying to get my life together. But I know that there were National Guardsmen indicted. And I actually published a whole bunch of their comments just yesterday that I found, you know, buried somewhere, about responding to an order to fire, some that they did, some that they didn't. But that's another way that they make this work, is they have everyone saying opposite things, and so that there's never an opportunity for truth to emerge.
We are speaking with Laurel Krauss, whose sister Allison Krauss was one of 4 students killed by National Guard rifles at Kent State University in Ohio, May 4th, 1970, and the website is truthtribunal.org. Laurel, what further information do you hope could come out, and how might it be made to come out?
The new evidence did come out, like I said, 3 years ago, 2010. And there's statute of limitations on murder never expires. So my sister was killed, you know, May 4th, 1970. New evidence showed up May 8th, 2010. And in that new evidence, it tells a whole different story that we never had proof of before. So we were hoping Dennis Kucinich came forward, and he offered to do a congressional hearing. He called it, and he was head of the Domestic Policy Commission Committee in Congress, and he wanted to actually take a look at the new evidence and have it heard before Congress.
And Dennis Kent State Kucinich is in or near his former district, correct?
Right. Dennis Kucinich has always been a troop, a fighter for Kent State. He was the youngest member ever of the Cleveland City Council, and Cleveland is 1 hour north of Kent State. So, you know, he was very involved. He knew he could smell it, something was wrong then, too. Like I said, everyone knew the government did it. Everybody. But we've not been able to prove it. So with this new evidence, we thought, okay, here's an opportunity. Statute of limitations never expires. And quickly thereafter, about a year, the Department of Justice decided they actually refused to take a look at the new evidence. And their reasons for it were really, you know, very sloppy and weak, talking about slamming of doors in the dormitory room. And they pointed to evidence from 1974. Well, this evidence that was examined by Stuart Allen is digital. It was the first time it was digitally analyzed. That's very big. You know, when you're looking at analog content, you cannot, you know, separate it like he could. He's an expert. Whatever he says, Stuart Allen says, he has actually testified before many judges. You know, he's the real deal. I can say X, Y, and Z. It doesn't matter. But what he says really matters. And even then, the U.S. government decided, oh, no, we're not interested. Let's move on, as the usual response for Kent State. So we decided to take it to The Hague, the International Criminal Court. That didn't get anywhere. And so recently, at the beginning of this year, we took it to the United Nations Human Rights Committee, asking for a credible, independent, impartial investigation into Kent State. And they have accepted our submission. We're going to be going to Geneva, Switzerland, next month, October 2013, to have Kent State heard, to have our quest for truth and justice at least take a step where the United Nations can do something about it, because the United States refuses.
And so the UN Human Rights Commission could do what after you present?
The Human Rights Committee. And basically what's going on is the U.S. is going before the Human Rights Committee at the UN in Geneva for their formal review. Every participant within the United Nations must go before the Human Rights Committee every 5 years or so. And, you know, anyone can send in a submission, any organization, whatever. We did. And it was accepted by the High Commissioner. It's actually up at the website. It's the 107th Assembly, I believe. And we're up there with Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch and many other organizations. You can see the Kent State Truth Tribunal submission. You click on it, you can read it. It's real simple. Basically, we're asking for, we're bringing it to the Human Rights Committee about right to life. Now, this is not about abortion rights. It's about the actual right to live without the government killing you.
And could criminal prosecutions come out of this?
Possibly. There's no laws in America for a federal murder. Each time I've called the FBI or the Department of Justice for justice for my sister, I get referred to civil rights. That's another way they deal with it in the United States. They keep pushing Kent State into the area of civil rights. But four people died. That's not civil rights. That's murder.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know what the outcome will be. But I think one of the best outcomes would be for the United States to create a credible, independent, impartial investigation into Kent State once and for all. Now, this is not far-fetched. But Bloody Sunday, which happened January, I believe it was 1972, 14 protesters were shot by British paratroopers. This has to do with the trouble between Northern Ireland and over religious matters, but there was protesting going on, and the paratroopers shot them in the back. There were two investigations of it. Both of them were very hampered and inaccurate. The third time around, they got a good investigation, accurate. What came out of that was an apology from the Prime Minister David Cameron in 2010, 38 years after the shooting. And, oh, by the way, most of those people were shot in the back running away from these people. I mean, this happens. But the UK takes responsibility, and they're one of our top allies. We need to follow suit. It's time for the United States to be held accountable for what they did in May 1970 at both Kent State and Jackson State.
It's interesting that a government killing its own people is such a common excuse for U.S. wars on other governments. And here you have a case of the U.S. government killing its own people in relatively small numbers, but in an outrageous action. And you say there's not even any mechanism for prosecuting it as a crime within the United States. It seems an incredible hypocrisy.
It's how they have it rigged. and here's this Pinochet stuff that's coming out with September 11th is the 40th anniversary of the killing related to, you know, people in Chile that were, you know, in the coup that happened there. Well, the Chile is asking for the United States to, you know, fess up to their involvement in this right now, too. And there's criminal charges and court cases going on about this right now. It just showed up today.
There was finally some accountability for Pinochet, but Henry Kissinger is still running around picking up awards.
Yeah, you know, I can't stop that. If I could, I would. If I could make this situation better, you know, I'm working on this 24/7 for the last 3 years. I would do it, but they really hold all the cards, and until Americans start doing something about this and raising their fists and saying, we will not take this anymore and we don't want another war. I mean, it's very likely that more Americans can be killed in protesting the war in Syria. Every time these kind of things come up, it's hard for me to breathe because we know what they've done and they've gotten away with it all these years. And they will continue to get away with it until we hold them accountable. And it can't just be me, you know. It's a David and Goliath story. It would be great to have that wonderful ending that, you know, David had, but highly unlikely.
Do you think that an apology from the United States Congress or President or other representatives of the U.S. government would make a big difference, would have an impact on people's understanding of Kent State and on current policies?
Well, that's what I'm working on. You know, that's what gets me up in the morning. To find to claim our apology. You know, I'm not really sure what will happen. I want that to happen. It doesn't mean it will happen. It will take a major restructuring. And I mean, I think that Obama has an opportunity to do this because everyone has been waiting for him to show his true character, which has not shown throughout his presidency.
Unless everybody's wrong about his true character.
We don't know. I mean, but I also think that the Department of Defense and Pentagon hold a gun to every president's head. I mean, I think that's totally, you know, I think anyone can see that, can't we?
Well, of course, we just didn't think it was much of an excuse when that president was Bush.
Well, I don't think that they really held the gun to his head. I think he was really happy to go along with it. But I don't think that's true of Obama. And you can kind of see the little pieces of it, but, you know, the proof is in the pudding, and he just hasn't lifted a finger. In fact, he's done everything against us with the NDAA and everything else in making it so that this police state is ironclad against us. And if we protest, we're taking our lives in the hands, just like my sister did. Although I'm not clear that she totally knew that that would be her day to die, I know that she stood up and wanted to die for what she did.
It's incredible bravery, and she died protesting a war in Vietnam that we could better understand as well. President Obama last year signed into being a Vietnam commemoration project that is going to spend huge amounts of our money over the next more than a decade holding events to commemorate and beautify and touch up the history of the Vietnam War, glorify it, make it into a good war rather than a bad war.
Yeah, and My Lai was really great, huh?
Right, but it
and
seems...
And so was the Gulf and Tonkin and the whole thing. It was all just really well done for us to create this false war, and they do it all the time, and they make money every time it happens. I mean, there's a real profit motive here, as well as, you know, inhumane goals that they have.
Indeed. Do you think there could be a truth tribunal about Kent State that would also include the truth about what those students were protesting?
Well, our truth tribunal was based on getting the real story, the truth, from original participants and witnesses of what happened in Kent State. We have about over 80 testimonies. We have not been able to produce all these things because we're running on a really tight budget. It's basically, the tight budget is my living. But, you know, I do feel that we'll get our funding and everything will be... we'll be able to produce this information and make it available to people. As part of it, it certainly is peace, just as much as my sister, her legacy is peace, and it has not been allowed to be known. How many people know that Alison Krauss died for peace and against the Vietnam War? It's not in history books. It's not allowed to be in U.S. history books. And if it is in the history book, it's not the truth. I have very little power to change all these things, but I feel that a lot of people are walking with me on this, and they really want what I want, and that is, we want the ability to live in a peaceful world. That's what my sister put out there, and we are not. This is the antithesis of that, and it's time for us to get on with our lives and to find our peace, whether they want us to or not.
I've never been to Kent State. Is there any memorial there thanking these students for their service the way that we thank soldiers for participating in killing abroad?
Well, here's the little bummer about that. There's a very nice monument. It had to be scaled down, of course. They couldn't spend a lot of money on it. But this year, the Kent State University... decided to create a visitor center on Kent State. And it is the government story on Kent State. There's no other narrative allowed. It is what they thought happened, what they wanted to be known, and that's it. And they spent $1.1 million on it. Where did they even get that kind of money is what I want to know 43 years later. And for what purpose other than to just bolster their position?
And how much money have they put into investigating this new evidence that came out 3 years ago that, in fact, as everyone suspected, those soldiers were ordered to shoot, and there was a provocateur stationed
in
the...
What I'm working on right now is collusion. And I think collusion is the key to everything that's wrong in our society right now. It's the government using all of its facilities to gang up on us and other places of the world, wherever they want to gang up, and they all work together, and they all pull off whatever they want. They say, this is the truth, and this is how we're going to see it. What they're selling to us right now with Syria, that we're supposed to be, you know, the government of Syria is supposed to turn over all their chemical weapons. Well, you know, Syria is the home of chemical weapons, and both sides are involved in all of that. And I don't even want to know about that rat nest, because I know it's worse than I could ever imagine what's going on with the U.S. involvement in it.
It's important that we not let them get away with past lies and distortions and fictions if they're not going to be able to get away with new ones.
How do we get Americans to stop believing what our government says when we have these types of truths? That's the part that's hard. I don't know how we will call people. I mean, it's working right now, though. Here's the good news. The good news is 19% of Americans are for this new Syria involvement. And over 50, I believe, I think it's 59%, are against it. This is, September 9th, 2013. You know? The fact that so many Americans are against it, I think is really wonderful. And I think it gives us hope, doesn't it?
It is incredibly encouraging. We would have loved to have this kind of a majority in 2001 or in 2003 against those wars, rather than 2 years later saying those wars shouldn't have been started. But it suggests that to some extent, underfunded and disadvantaged as the cause of peace may be, we are winning over public opinion and they aren't. In just a minute left, can you tell people what they can do to help? Can people support you at truthtribunal.org? To what extent can people get involved around Kent State?
Well, basically, I'm big on Facebook, so if you see a post from Kent State Truth Tribunal or Laurel Krause, please like it, share it, and let your friends know about this. We're always looking for backing and support. One of the most important things you can do to support our efforts is to give us $10, give us $25. We're tax deductible, 501(c). You can see the donate page. I'm going to actually be updating our webpage soon to talk a little bit more about the United Nations. This is a big deal for us. We're going, our crew is going. We're hoping to document it. I don't know the date yet. I'm almost a little nervous on the date because it's coming so quickly, and we're going to Geneva, Switzerland, and it's going to take everyone's support for us to go, because I'm just a regular person here. I'm a single, independent woman, unemployed, but very focused on truth and justice for Kent State.
I hope Geneva goes wonderfully. I hope you continue this work and expanding awareness of what happened at Kent State. I'm horribly sorry for what happened to your sister. We've been speaking with Laurel Krause. She is co-founder and director of the Kent State Truth Tribunal. The website is truthtribunal.org. Laurel, thanks for coming on Talk Nation Radio.
It's been my honor, and what a pleasure.
This is Talk Nation Radio. I'm David Swanson. Take action at rootsaction.org. All past shows can be heard at davidswanson.org. Talk Nation Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. If you are listening to a nonprofit station, please support that station. Talk Nation Radio is funded by contributors at davidswanson.org. There is no way to peace. Peace is the way. Until next time.